Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the wonderful privilege of reading not one, not two, but three special sections of the Torah in Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei and Parshas Achodesh. It's going to be an exciting, jam-packed Shabbos. So the Torah begins, Vayakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all the people together, and Rashi explains that this gathering happened on the day after Yom HaKippurim. In other words, the people were commanded to make the Mishkan right after receiving the Luchos Shnios, the second Luchos. Now, in regard to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, we find a stress on the building taking place after the other needs of the people were taken care of. In other words, first there was Kibush, and then there was Chiluk, there was conquering the land, and then there was Chalukah, the settling of the land, and then there was an opportunity where they established themselves in front of the enemies, Vashem Hiniach Lo Misavim Mikolei Vav. And only then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech begin discussing the idea of building the Beis HaMikdash. So why is it when it comes to the Mishkan, why did the Mishkan get commanded right away before there was any settlement whatsoever? Right away after the Matan Torah, God sets him up to go build the Mishkan. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that after the Jews sinned with the Chet HaEgel, Hashem realized that they needed a place to go to connect to Him. And so ergo, when in the land, they were able to connect via Eretz Yisrael. The land itself brought out a sense of connection. However, in the desert, they needed a place. And the command for the Mishkan was an immediate item to attend to in order to make sure that the Jews had the place. And so as a result, Moshe gathers them right away. And what does he tell them? He tells them to keep Shabbos. Lo sevaru esh, don't light a fire. My friend Ephraim Goldberg reminds us of the famous comment of the Hasidic Rebbe, not to allow a fire to be lit in one's house, don't get so crazy and angry. But of all the 39 Avos Malachos, only Havara gets stated, only the idea of not lighting a fire. And so the question has to be asked on a literal level, why? So the Chasam Sofer explained that one should not begin to light a spiritual fire on Shabbos. Rather, says the Chasam Sofer, that fire needs to burn all week long. So the Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman Shlita, adds that only if one builds the fire all week long, by being spiritually connected all week long, then and only then will it remain lit on Shabbos. And this is the kiyum of the famous statement of Chazal in Maseich Neshabbos, Mishet Tarach Be'erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. The Gemara is in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. That somebody who toils on Erev Shabbos, such a person gets to eat on Shabbos. So my dear friend Rabbi Abba Wagensberg Shalita explained that the connection between the building of the Mishkan and Shabbos extends to this arena of life as well. We engage in so many projects that demand our attention. However, as we engage in them, we must never lose the sight of the spiritual opportunities that surround us. In that manner, we're always building sanctuaries of time, and we build a Shabbos that's tantamount to building a Mikdash. Each and everything we do has to be geared towards Shabbos so that we don't burn it down, so that it doesn't become something that just gets started to try to make it into something big when Shabbos is upon us and we need to benefit from the Or Shel Shabbos already. Then we get told about the building of the Mishkan. And in that context we're told, Vayavo anoshim al hanoshim. The men came and they brought up on top of the women. And Rashi explains that the women came wearing their jewelry and then they donated it. So why does the Torah need to tell us how the jewelry came? Why does the Torah need to let us know how the jewelry system came about and that the women wore it, etc.? So Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that Hashem's will was not to take things that the people found to be worthless. Rather, he wanted them to take the things that they valued and still understood that the value of the Mishkan was going to be even greater. And the same is true for tzedakah. Don't just give your leftover scraps or for other mitzvos, especially for Limud HaTorah. The women showed that although they loved their tachshitim, they wore it to the last moment. Still, they wanted these to in the Mishkan because they understood there was a greater purpose that it would serve there in the Mishkan as well. Okay. And we find Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe in regard to the Big Day Kahuna, which are identified in the Parsha. We find that the Big Day Kahuna are identified as Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So in regard to the Big Day Kahuna, we see the phrase And yet when it comes to the making of the Mishkan, we do not. So why is there a difference? So the Brisker Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that the word Tziva only applies to mitzvahs that apply Lidoros, as opposed to something that is a Horashah, as opposed to something that's just temporary. The Big Day Kahuna, explains the Brisker Rav, they were there to remain even in the Beis HaMikdash, while the Mishkan would later be forgotten in favor of the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. So Shechter Shlita would often add to us, but the same thing's true today when learning from watching a Rebbe's Hanhagos instead of learning proper actions directly. The former, the Hanhagos, may constitute our Rasha. They're not meant to be there in the future. The latter, listening to the Rebbe's Shiurim, studying the Rebbe's notes, listening to his Svarim, understanding and speaking to the Rebbe, that provides the actions, the Rebbe's actions clearly and give us a direction from within which to learn what exactly the Rebbe's connection to the Masorah was supposed to be. In Parshas Pekudei, we find a stress on the idea of the Vavei HaAmudim. Now, in the Torah, the idea of Vavei HaAmudim is a hiddur, or an identity, whereby the top letter at each of the columns is identified by the letter Vav. A Sefer Torah is filled with the letter Vav, and most columns in the Sefer Torah specifically start with the Vav. Vav is the most common letter in the Torah. Why? Why is that so important? So Rav Shimshon David Pinkus explains, or Pinkus Zecher Tzadik Livracha, pointed out that in other languages, a sentence doesn't have the ability to start with the word and does not start a correct sentence. But in the Hebrew language, it's quite common. And the reason is that as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah is one long connection. It begins with Bereishis, and it carries forward until the present day. And in the same sense that we cannot cut out one's childhood, for it made the adult who he or she is, we cannot ignore the twists and turns of each piece of the Torah. They, like each piece in the Mishkan, is connected. And so therefore, they also have the Vavei HaAmudim. The Torah tells us, Vayaviu es HaMishkan LaMoshe, that they brought the Mishkan to Moshe, and Rashi explains that it was Moshe who needed to put the Mishkan together as a description of how the Shekhinah would attach it. Moshe would roll his hands over it, and then the Shekhinah would attach it so it would look like Moshe put it together. But the Medrash goes one step further, and the Medrash explains that the people knew how to build the individual pieces, but it was only Moshe Rabbeinu who had the ability to connect those pieces. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that the two ideas apply to one's inner Mishkan as well. The inner Mishkan needs to be put together, and not only the individual parts that have to be built. At the same time, the final blows need to come from Hashem, even if it looks like the person is doing all his work. Vilvavi Mishkan Evne. We don't build a mikdash in our hearts, we build a Mishkan. And when it comes to a Mishkan, we have to make sure that not only do we create the structures, but that we have the parts that go together, we know how to interconnect it and make the Mishkan. We also know that we need to make sure that we leave room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fit the pieces. And once the Mishkan was created, Vayivarech Osam Moshe, Moshe blessed the people. And Rashi explains that the tefillah offered was a tefillah that the Shekhinah should be successfully imparted through their Maaseh Yadayim. And the Medrash offers a different blessing, Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kochem Elef Pamim. And why are these two brachos connected to the Mishkan? So the author of the Koheles Yitzchak explains that when one donates to a shul or a Beis HaMedrash, he merits to have many generations, especially of sons and daughters, who dwell and study in Torah and mitzvos. It's a understanding that there's a strong connection between the Shekhinah and the Maaseh Yadayim and the Yosef Aleichem Kochem. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us that wisdom when we support those types of causes. Finally, this week we will read both Parshas HaChodesh, which the great Rav Zilberstein Shalita identifies the mitzvah of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo, the idea that in a Karban Pesach we're not allowed to go ahead and break a bone, to point out that nowadays we can be mekayim that mitzvah by being sufficiently planned in our lives to make sure that when we walk in our lives, we act like Talmidei Chachamim. And also making sure that we don't do things that are disgusting in our lives. And in addition, we also highlight the fact in the Haftorah, the fact that we say Bevo HaNasi, when the Nasi tends to come. Rav Menachem Liptak Shalita highlights that the reference change here from Melech to Nasi throughout the Haftorah, and by the way, throughout the end of the book of Yechezkel, and also the stress on the king's additional karbanos, could serve to highlight the fact that in Yechezkel's time, the monarchy had sold out the centrality of Hashem's rule in the world. And so in order to prevent that situation from ever reoccurring, the offering of regular karbanos by the king and then only presenting them to the kohanim who would take over the offering on his behalf, and also the demotion in title as well from Melech to Nasi, as well as the recognition that the Melech only rules over his Nachala, served to remind the king that he serves at the will of Hashem. All these things come to show that the king only serves at the will of Hashem, and it is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the king and the nation must direct their attention. The idea of not breaking the bone, not being grub, not taking too much, the idea of getting a bracha b'masa yodenu, the understanding that Torah is always connected, the idea of making sure that life is not only about the horashas, but also the dori doros, the things that last together. The understanding that we give our best over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we keep that fire going all the time. These are all some of the critical lessons that tie up Parshios Vayakel and Pekudei, and lead us to a situation that we will all declare Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, a Shabbat Shalom to one and all.